Come on, give God a praise. That's why we're here. Look at the person next to you. Get right in their face. It's not a Singapore thing, but get right in there and say, today is your day. Come on, tell somebody. Even up there in the cheap seats. Tell them, today is your day. Very good. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Well, it's been a couple years since I've been here. And, I've spent 20 years coming in and out of Singapore. So just when I thought I would start learning to like certain things about Asian food. Exactly. I was in Hong Kong, and I know that's different from you guys. So I'll give you a little break here. But they're going to take me to a nice Chinese restaurant. Well, I like kind of normal stuff. You know, I've eaten little bugs and animals and eyeballs when I was young. But that was a long time ago. So I don't have anything to prove. But they said, nice Chinese restaurant. Okay, let's do it. So, of course, there's no menu in English. It's just in Mandarin. So I'm going, guys, I can't read this. They said, what would you like? So I'm thinking, okay, how about just chicken? They can't mess up chicken, right? I kind of thought that. So I said, chicken. So they bring me a tray of chicken heads. You can't make this up, folks. You cannot. Chicken heads. And the eyeballs were open. So the chicken heads were looking at me. So, of course, in my own American New York City manner, I said, okay, what am I supposed to do with these? And the guy said, you suck the brains out of the neck. I looked out the window, and right across the street, I saw a Pizza Hut. I said, you know, guys, when you're done with the chicken heads, I'm going to be right over there. Now, I only tell you that I've spent a lot of time in this part of the world. And I got to tell you something. As far as there's not a part of this world I have not been. And I want to tell you, not because I'm here, because most of you know me. If I tell you something, that's kind of how it is. I love coming to this part of the world. I have never been anywhere where I feel like people understand what I do, why I do it, the needs of the kids, and just you guys being gracious to me. I live, as you know, around people that aren't nice. The part of New York City where I live, I was just in Afghanistan a couple of weeks ago. You know, I got shot by a Russian sniper in Syria a couple of years ago. You know where I go. You know what I do. But when I come here, and I know a lot of it is because of that man sitting on the front row. I appreciate you, sir. Give God a praise for the man and woman of God. Come on. I know what you got. I know what you got here. Thank you, sir. Thank you. See, and everybody thinks, oh, you know, they say something nice about him, so now he's going to come up and say something nice. No, if I like you, I'm really quick to say I like you. If I don't like you, I'm equally as quick to say, I really don't like you. Sit down. So today, if you're a visitor, first-time visitors today? Okay, yeah, a couple. Good. Please come back next week. This is a great church. Best pastor in Singapore, right here, top notch. I love these guys. See, I am your missionary. That's how I look at my role. I am your missionary that goes all around the world, does what I do. You guys know the stories. Shot twice, thrown off of a building, 3 plane crashes. And I've worked with Christians for 50 years. I don't know what's more traumatic. I'm not sure. But when you're out and about, like I am, finding kids that nobody really cares much about, and Pastor Irby, thanks, man, for being here today. This guy, and you'll get a chance to meet him. He'll be at the back table with me. Him and I worked together for the children in the Philippines. That's great to have you, man. Thank you. Thank you, bro. So you're going to see all kinds of people out there at the tables. Isn't this a great addition? I hadn't seen this because it's been a couple of years since I've been here. And what a great opportunity for me to be here. You're not really a guest speaker unless you're selling something. That's how you know if you're a guest speaker, when you're selling something. So not to be outdone by the other guest speakers, and I'm sure you guys have. I think all of you guys got one of these. Did y'all get one as you came in? Yeah? Get those out quickly, if you will. If you're sitting on it, that is not the purpose of this. It is not a cushion. Okay? Did y'all ever get this? Did you get these? I don't know if they did or not. I think they did. Okay. This is a very important part of a Metro World Child meeting. As you guys know, when things happen to me, happen to one of the kids, happen to the staff, I need to know that I can send out an email to you and get you, your connect groups, your cell groups, to pray. That's the purpose of this. When I got shot in Syria, I got a lot of emails back from Singapore, and I know many of them were from you. And so thank you. There's a place here at the back and on the bottom that you can take that, tear that off, fill it out, hand it to me personally if you'd like to get emails. I'm not going to send you pictures of what I had for lunch like some of your friends. Do you have friends that send you pictures of what they've eaten? Yeah? Okay. You need some new friends. Okay. If that's all they've got to do with their time, that's not right, folks. That's not right. Give these to me. I want to shake your hand personally and thank you for being a part of our prayer network. And then take this home, put it up in your home this year as a reminder to pray. The doors of the world are opening to us in a very unique way. We just got a confirmation that Benjamin Netanyahu has given us the green light to start Metro Sunday School on the Gaza Strip. So, yeah, you can give God a praise. Opportunities, guys. Opportunities. And I think all of us are smart enough to know that if you don't go through the door when it's open, because we all know open doors don't stay open forever. So when these things happen, I got to be ready to move. And it's your prayers that that give me the wisdom, I think, to decipher, to discern which doors are the right ones. So please, fill this out. Give it to me afterwards at the table. And while you're doing that, let me go over this stuff with you here really quick. Give me that slide, John, if you can. We got all kinds of books. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the books. I do not write books because I have nothing better to do. But I'll say something on television or in a meeting like this in a pastor school, and somebody will say, Pastor Bill, you need to put that in a book. So that's what all this is. It's compilations of truth, of things that I have picked up. I don't deal in theory. I deal in fact. I've been in the ministry now. This year is my 50th year. And after you've been around for 50 years, I hope that I picked up some things that can encourage people, that can help people. Of course, whose child is this? This is the story of how Metro has become the largest Sunday school, not just in America, but in the world. Over 200,000 kids a week come to Metro Sunday School, and you guys are a part of that. You are a part of history, and it's important that you understand that. So, who has never read this book? A little bit of my testimony. Never read the book. Hold your hand up. Wave at me. Never read the book. All of you have read the book. I don't believe that. I would like to believe that, but I do not believe that. Okay. Oh, somebody over there. Wait a minute. Let me go over here. Who is that? You've never read the book. You have never read the book. Well, here it is. Merry Christmas. You're welcome. Read all kinds of stuff. out there at the table. Anybody else want a book? You want? Yeah, you can buy them right out there. Right out there. Right out there. They'll sign your book and we'll take pictures. Yeah, we got time. I'm doing the youth service after this. But we've got some time. We'll just hang out for a while. Free food today? Is it free? Or do we pay for it? No, it's free. Chicken heads? No. Yeah. Bread. Okay. No chicken heads. Very good. All right. I told, where was I? Must have been in India. You know how that goes. And so I signed this guy's book, right? And then I find out later he sold it on eBay for twice the price. Don't do that, folks. I'll sign your book, but don't do that. All right, what else we got? I think there's some videos back there. I caution you on these. There's three DVDs. These are number 18 rated videos in this part of the world. I tell you that so you don't get all excited, get the kids around the telly, and going to watch Pastor Bill. These are not for kids. They're actually not even for most Christians. But if you want to see, if you don't know me, I know most of you guys do, but for those of you that don't, I live two lives. And usually when a preacher says that, that's not a good thing. So let me explain it. I have like this life, my outside speaking life, my television life, my PhD teaching in university life, rah-rah. Mm-hmm. Very churchy, very evangelical, very fundamental, very temperamental church life. Okay, you understand. Then I have the other life, the life I live back in the ghetto in New York. I've lived there now for 40 years in circumstances that we have had some of our staff members pay for with their life. So when I talk to you today, understand I'm not like any other guest speaker you're ever going to have in this place. It's just different. Not right, not wrong, just different. I've chosen to live in a different part of society. And because of that, the way I will speak to you today, what you see on the videos, the things you will see on the screen, some of the things you will see today and tomorrow, because I'm doing four different messages. I'm going to do a different message in each service because I've just got a lot to say. You will see things, you will hear things that will disturb you. I tell you that up front. I don't apologize for that. I just need you to know that this weekend is not just another weekend on the church calendar. It's me trying to communicate to you not just the needs of kids that were just like me, because you know when my mother left me on the street corner when I was a little kid, anybody could have picked me up. You understand that? I sat there for 3 days. Anybody could have picked me up. Gang member, human trafficker, pedophile. But the only one that stopped to pick me up was an ordinary Christian. He saw something in me that my own mother didn't see in me. You want to talk about caring about your neighbor? You want to talk about seeing something in other people maybe you've never seen before? We're going to talk about that all weekend long. Mm-hmm. Because it's always been about ordinary people. Look at me. That choose to do extraordinary things. I'm around all the hotshot preachers in America. They're exhausting. They just... Exactly. After 50 years of being in the ministry, of traveling all over the world, probably one of the most critical things that I have learned, the hot shots aren't the ones that make the difference. It's the ordinary people. Look at me. It's the ordinary people. I was preaching with Billy Graham years ago in Dallas. him and I were in a conference together. We were sitting in the green room, which is never green. They call it a green room for some reason. And before we came out, you would be shocked to see how ordinary a guy Billy Graham really was. Men of influence, men and women of substance, remember where they came from. They never take it for granted. And they become the people that make the difference. And so that's what this weekend is about. But when you see these videos, and even in the services, you may see some things that go, yeah, it's real life, guys. Real life this weekend. Okay? Everybody okay with that? You good? Yep. One thumb? Two thumbs? Two thumbs? Good? Okay. Just want to make sure. So that's what's out there at the table. Different things that may interest different folks. The T-shirts. People started hearing me say stuff on television, and they kept going, Pastor Bill, you need to put what you just said on a T-shirt. Never really thought about it, but it kind of made sense. This one's one of my favorites. It says, follow your heart, but take your brain along for backup. Some of you may need this. Not for you, for one of your friends. Okay. Just one of your friends. Okay. This is like a guy's size. What man needs this shirt? There's a guy here that needs this shirt. And I can pretty much look at you and tell you who you are. Oh, she's pointing to her husband. Okay. There you go. I'm assuming that was your husband? Okay, I just shouldn't have assumed that. I know better than that. Follow your heart. Take your brain along for backup. Oh, I forgot. This just got printed here in Singapore. It's my latest book. It's called Elephants of Relevance. Yeah, just finished it up. I think it's in Mandarin out there as well as English. It's based on that American colloquialism, the 1,000-pound elephant in the room. You know, things that are like right there, but nobody wants to talk about it, right? So I got one for every year I've been in ministry. 50 elephants, things in church life that nobody wants to talk about, but they better. So it's kind of become this discussion starter book. And this is my only hardcover book. All the other books are soft covers. And I did this hardcover for a reason. So that if you give this to your friend and they get offended, it's perfect. You'll have your own copy. So if they don't like it, it's a hardcover. You just smack them in the head in Jesus' name. If you're going to smack somebody in church, you got to do it in Jesus' name. You got to make it spiritual. You know how this goes. So, just finish this up. Kind of interesting. The last thing I want to show you are the pictures. And some of you, you will not be a stranger to these pictures. You will have an opportunity today, in between services, to take one of the kids that we have committed our lives to and say, I can't sponsor a country, I get that. Can't sponsor a village, I get that. I'm not asking you to do either. What I am asking you is to take one child, that, and I'm not going to be dramatic. I'm 70 years old. I don't need to be dramatic. After you've been shot a couple of times, I've seen 23 people murdered in front of me. I'm way past the drama, okay? I live with drama. I don't have to try to create it. But when you take a look at these pictures, all I'm asking is that you'll just say, Lord, is it possible for me, an ordinary person, to do something extraordinary in the life of a kid that needs an extraordinary amount of help? That's what this is, guys. This is our Metro sponsorship program. You can be as involved in the life of these children as you choose to be. It's an opportunity. It's $46 a month. You can be as involved in their life as you choose to be. We have a metro office here in Singapore. Our team at the office will keep you connected with your sponsored child. I take 50 people with me to go with me and Pastor Herbie every March. First week in March. Some of you need to go with us. Hang out with us. Walk with us. See the kids that live in the garbage dump. If you sponsor a child from the Philippines, you can go visit your sponsored child. We do Sunday school in the North Cemetery. In the cemetery. Kids live in the cemetery. Okay? I'm going to show you that in just a second. But take a stop by, take a look at it, and if you've ever wondered, does something like this make a difference? Because I know, you see stuff on TV, you hear stuff. I get it, guys. I've done this all my life. I get it. So if you ever wondered this stuff, John, give me that first shot. Will you do that? Can you give me that first picture? First picture. Yeah, there you go. That little girl there is Cherry Ann. This is in the North Cemetery. No, leave the picture up there. I need the picture up. That's her mom. They live in the cemetery, and Pastor Herbie has been very influential in helping us. The partnership that we have here is what makes this thing happen. And so it was 2 years ago, and a gal from Singapore who had heard me preach a couple of years ago sponsored Cherry Ann, and she came to me and she said, Pastor Bill, I want to go visit Cherry Ann. And she lives in the cemetery. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, come. So we get to the cemetery, and we'd done Sunday school. We were packing it up, and I noticed that there were some of the lady staff members looking at Cherry Ann. Give me that next picture, John, if you will. And they were standing around her, looking at her. And I thought, what in the world are they looking at? So I walked over there. She was born without an anus. And they had cut this hole in her side. And once a week, she would go to a clinic. They'd stick a tube in there, drain the waste, stick a bandage on there. And this thing was infected all the time. She lives in the cemetery, guys. So the sponsor, now here's the hook. So me and the sponsor are looking at this. And then the sponsor looks at me and says, Pastor Bill, we have to do something. Look at me. That's what the urgency does, folks. The urgency demands something from you. Why do you think I take people with me to places like this? I'm going to Yemen in January. I'll have to wear the bulletproof vest again. Somebody has to go. When you find 1,000 kids a week laying dead of starvation, somebody has to go. Yeah. And we don't just send money. I go. I make sure that the help is personally given to the kids, particularly like in a place like Afghanistan and in Yemen. It's not just hoping it gets there. Big difference, and you guys know this. So give me the next one, John. If you will, please. So this girl comes back to Singapore. She's like a dog with a bone. She's on this thing. And she makes connections with a hospital, with some clinics, talking to doctors. We find a surgeon here in town that said, I'll do the operation. I'll do it for free. An anesthesiologist, Christian lady, she said, I'll do my part for free. Two Christian nurses said, we'll do our part. Thank God for Christian people. Come on, give God a praise. Thank God for Christian people. Working together. That's what this is, guys. It's working together. It's all of us ordinary folk making a difference. So they're doing the scans, right, before they do the operation. And again, I know when something seems too easy, you know, everybody knows how this works. Okay, so we get her in, they do the scans. Give me another one, John. And they found her lungs were filled with worms. She'd lived in a cemetery, lungs filled with worms. Give me another shot, John, if you will, please. So it took several weeks, get rid of the worms. That's the doc, That's Cherry Ann. They're prepping her for surgery. It's going to be, they're going to have to open her up and rebuild her whole lower GI tract here. It's not going to be an easy operation. We get her in there. Give me another one, John. And she got through the operation. It was long, almost 10 hours. The mom was there in the recovery room. We had people who filled out the prayer slips, people praying all over the world. And yeah, another one, John, you got another one there? Yeah, she made it through it. And I wanted you to know that because of churches just like this, don't miss this in Jesus' name, just like where we are, churches that have a missions heart and a missions mind. She got through it. We got her back on the plane. You got a shot of her on the plane, John? Yeah. Somebody got her a teddy bear, got her back to the Philippines. I show you this so you understand one person can make a difference. Y'all got that? Yeah. Hillary Clinton wrote a book, said, "It takes a village." Not true. Kind of like everything else that the Clintons say. But that's another message. I'm not going to get political. I promised myself I wasn't going to get political, but I'm doing my best. It would be nice if the village would do it. But all of us are smart enough to know normally the village doesn't do it. But that's okay, because all it takes, come on, Jesus, all it takes is one. It takes one person that gets it. One person that sees the need. The need becomes the call. They put something into motion, and a regular lady, young woman, not wealthy, a regular gal from right here in Singapore, caught it. She saw it. So much more to the story. But I wanted you to see this. Pastor, thank you for allowing me to share this, as always. I'll be out there as long as I need to be. If you feel like you'd like to be one that makes a difference, come by, talk to us. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you. Take it down, John. Take the picture down. Just go to black. Take the picture down. We'll go those in a minute. Get your Bibles open. Everybody got your Bible? Get them open. If you don't have a Bible, slip over next to a Christian. They'll have one. Open up to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. I've got way too much stuff here. All right, here we go. Right there. Book of Acts, chapter number 14. I don't normally do a lot of text-by-text preaching. Most of my messages are usually topical. I don't usually have a lot of time to do text-by-text, but we don't have a lot of time here either. But we have just enough. So I want you to open to the book of Acts. There was a title for this message today. The title of this message, and again, four different messages, because I need you to see the big picture of what's happening with Metro, and I want you to know what you're a part of. The title of the message would be, "The miracle was not in the miracle." Let me say it again. The miracle was not in the miracle. This 14th chapter of the book of Acts is normally the foundational message that a lot of preachers use to talk about what you and I would call an extraordinary miracle. And it's almost the context, it's almost the entire 14th chapter deals with what you and I would call an extraordinary miracle. So I'm going to walk you through it. And John, I'm going to have you just look. John, is he there? There he is. All right. I'm going to tell you which verses I want. You can bring them up. And we'll, this will be in the King James Version. That's the one Jesus read. And so that's the one that I use. So if you have one of these other bogus translations, the NTSB or VBS or whatever translation you guys use, you just kind of bear with me and I'll walk you through this. Let me lay the foundation, because in these few verses we're going to look at quickly, The miraculous in our day and time is often misunderstood. Some of you have heard me tell the story of how I got hit with a brick right here back in Brooklyn. It was a robbery. Guy hit me with a brick, busted my cheekbone, broke 3 teeth out. I just got the new ones paid off. They look good though, right? Just got them paid off. But I was blind in this eye because of that incident. The blow, I guess for lack of a better word, had a blood clot that cut off the optic nerve in my right eye. I was blind for 3 months in this eye. So I'm driving the Sunday school bus in Brooklyn, picking up the kids for Sunday school, traveling around the world, trying to get the kids sponsored, doing what I do. I had a patch on this eye. I looked like a stupid pirate. And of course, everybody asks, are you okay? Do I look like I'm okay? Do you think I'm wearing this for fun? No, I'm not okay. It's like over here, people ask you, have you eaten? You don't care if I've eaten. Why do you ask that? It's kind of a cultural thing, though, right? Have you eaten? That's like, are you okay? Is that right? Something like that? Okay. So, 3 months blind in this eye. That's the closest I ever came to quitting the ministry. This has been quite a while ago. I was tired. I was wore out. You ever just been wore out? You ever just been tired? Tired of the fight? It was just before then that one of our staff members, we found him dead behind the church on a Sunday morning. And it was right before that we had to go get one of our girls who'd been gang raped on top of one of the buildings in New York. And now I'm blind in this eye. But you see how the enemy does it. He comes at you. Boom, boom. The enemy doesn't come at you with just one thing. He's going to come at you in as many ways as he can. And it's all designed to get you so discouraged, so disillusioned that you quit. But you understand that. Yeah. The enemy doesn't have any new tricks. It's the same old stuff. Blind, 3 months. Almost quit, but in the middle of the night, before I left, before I was going to quit, the Lord healed me. I can see fine. I'm 70. I don't wear glasses, which means I may fall down these stairs, but I don't wear them. Okay. Somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. on that Monday morning in Brooklyn, New York, God came down and sovereignly healed my eye. You are looking at a living miracle. You didn't think a miracle would look like this, did you? I know. Hey, shh, shh, shh. I know it's a little disappointing. I get it. Okay. But you are looking at a living miracle. I can speak to you about the miraculous. I'm uniquely qualified firsthand to speak to you about the miraculous. But not only have I been the recipient of the miraculous, I've been a conduit. I've been a channel of the miraculous. I've prayed for 2 blind people. Prayed for them, laid hands on them. They were instantly healed. I don't talk about that much. I prayed for several deaf people. They instantly healed. I've prayed for some dumb millennials. They were not healed. I just, 2 out of 3, that's not that bad. But that's another message. We'll talk about that later. In this 14th chapter of the book of Acts, the entirety, nearly, of the chapter is dedicated to this miracle. Give me the 8th verse, John, if you will, please. Let's look at, there it is. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Now, I teach Old Testament in university. I'm not going to try to do a little university thing here today. But there is a widely accepted school of theological thought that's called the law of multiple definition. Now, what does that mean? I'm sure all of you are just begging to understand what I just said. It's so interesting. So let me tell you what the law of multiple definition is. If a person, place, or thing is described 3 ways, You better pay attention, because God is trying to get your attention. So having said that, look at Peter. He's impotent in his feet, comma. A cripple from his mother's womb, comma. Who had never walked, colon. Now, the writer is describing this man's condition three ways. This man has never walked. Now, why is this important? Because there's a big difference between someone who maybe, how can I say it, maybe in an accident or because of a debilitating disease can no longer walk. Big difference between them and someone who has never walked. Agreed? Big difference. Walking is learned behavior. A baby doesn't one day just wake up and just, you know, start doing the moonwalk. Maybe your kid did, but most kids don't. Babies didn't wake up and suddenly, whoop, and the kid's walking. No, look at me. Don't miss it. Walking, and you know this, is learned behavior. This man, you're pretty quick, John. I like that. I'm going to get you some chicken heads. This guy's never walked. Keep that in mind, because there's some of you, in a crowd this size, I think after 50 years of doing this, I know there's some of you in this room, there's some things you've never been able to do. I mean, let's think about it. Maybe some of you, let me think, what would it be? Maybe some of you have never been able to manage money. I get that. It's just, you've never been able to do it. For some reason, maybe some of you, what else? Maybe some of you have never been able to have a really good relationship. You've tried, but just, it's eluded you. What else? Oh, maybe some of you have never been able to keep your mouth shut. Yeah, you almost did, right? And then at the last minute, you had to open your mouth and just say something stupid. I get it. I'm there. You almost made it, but at the last minute, some of you in the house today, some of you never been able to do something. This man has never walked. Never walked. Now, give me verse 9, John. Let's go to the next one quick. So this same man heard Paul speak. So steadfastly beholding him. Paul's looking at this guy, this crippled man. He's looking at the guy, and it says he's perceiving that this man had faith to be healed. Now, how does that work? Now, see, we visit every kid in the Sunday schools. We see them every week in some context. And particularly in New York, because I live in the ghetto. So you're knocking on the door. You never really know who's going to answer the door in Brooklyn. And you've got, as psychiatrists tell us now, 7 seconds. And people will evaluate you. You have 7 seconds to make a first impression, and that's not a lot of time, guys. 7 seconds, right? And so Paul looks at the crippled man, and it says he perceives that he's got faith. How can you see faith? For some of you wannabe scholars, he looks at the man. And he sees that the man has faith to be healed. So the next time you hear somebody say, I've got great faith, you just can't see it. Hogwash. Hogwash. That's a Mandarin term. He looks at the crippled man. He sees something. He perceives. Remember when they were cutting the hole in the roof to lower the paralytic down to Jesus? Remember that story? And the Bible says that Jesus looks up. Remember what it says? It says, and when he saw their faith. Oh, look at me. Don't miss this. Make no mistake what I'm saying, guys. If you're a person of great faith, people are going to see it. So when they look at you, what do they see? When your neighbor looks at you, when your classmates look at you, when your work people look at you, what do they see? The world is not listening, but they are watching. I need to say that again. Some of you are taking notes. That's wise. The world doesn't listen much to the church. They aren't in the U.S. So many places like the Catholic Church and so many of these organizations that have discredited themselves have given up their right to speak. The world is not listening. Oh, but the world is watching. Would you agree with that? What do you think? Does that make sense? Some of you, somebody just gave me the dog look. You know what the dog look is. It's when you talk to your dog and your dog goes, do not give me the dog look. The world is not listening. Oh, but your neighbor, they're watching. Yeah, you believe that? Okay, all right. Everybody put your fingers like this, just like this. Don't look at me, do it. Put your fingers like this, good. Now put them right here on your chin. I said your chin. You're not even listening. You drug yourself out here. Ain't nobody listening. Ain't nobody listening. You didn't do what I said. You did what you saw me do. The greatest illustration of communication, you just saw it right here. And you're going, what? Some of you still can't figure it out. Nobody listens but everybody. Exactly. Everybody is watching. He sees that this guy's got faith to be healed. Give me the verse 10, John. Give me that next one. And he says with a loud voice. This is great in the Greek. Basically, Paul yells at this crippled man. I love Paul. Sometimes you just got to yell at people. Not always, but sometimes. He yells with a loud voice, stand up on your feet. And the man leaps and walks. Now, I'm going to stop right here because y'all need to get this. My God. I wish I had something to throw at somebody. I want to just throw something right now. Even if this guy was healed, technically, he should not have been able to walk. Why? Because he's never walked. And walking is learned behavior. Hence, sometimes I use big words just to justify my PhD, because that was the biggest waste of time and money in my entire life. So sometimes I just say words, I don't even know what they mean, but it makes me sound smart, and then I don't feel so bad. Get up! Stand up! And he leaps, and he walks. That should have never happened. What we are looking at here, and I believe this is part of the reason why almost this 14th chapter in its entirety is committed to the miracle. What you are looking at, and for those of you that are keeping notes, here's your first thought. This, my friends, is an extraordinary miracle. Would you agree? Oh, I think you would. Extraordinary. This guy shouldn't have been able to walk. Doesn't matter what happened. So not only was his legs healed, Pastor, I'm not even sure what would it be. The nervous system, the mind, all of it, this composition of all these parts. This is an extraordinary miracle, guys. So what we have here, the first observation, it was an extraordinary miracle. Extraordinary. But wait a minute. We got to hurry here. Let's go to verse 11, John. Let's take a look. Let's see what happens next. This is great. And when the people saw what Paul had done, I love this, they lifted up their eyes, saying the speech of Lycaonia, the gods have come to us in the likeness of men. Give me the next one, John. Give me verse 12. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Give me 13. And then the priest of Jupiter, which was before the city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates, and they would have done sacrifice with the people. The people that saw this, they knew it was an extraordinary miracle. They're getting ready to do what? They're getting ready to worship Paul and Barnabas. This is extraordinary. And they're thinking only the gods could do this. So they're bringing oxen and garland and chicken heads and everything that they had into this place to worship them. And they would have done sacrifice with the people. Give me 14, John. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, don't miss this, watch me. They rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. And what did they say? Give me 15. Sirs, why do you do these things? My God. We also are men of like passions with you. Here's the hook, folks. Look at me. Here it is. The reason I titled this message, The Miracle Was Not in the Miracle. As extraordinary as that miracle was, this is where so many people and even translators miss this. The real miracle here was not in the miracle. As extraordinary as the miracle was, here's the real miracle. And Paul hits it. He said, don't worship us. Don't look at us. We are just like you. God help us. An extraordinary miracle now is established that it's been done through ordinary people. Look at the person next to you and say, I think he's talking to you. Mm-hmm. Look at somebody and say, I think he's talking. Yeah, I'm talking to all y'all. That's a Southern American thing. All y'all. It's not Mandarin. It's all y'all. The real miracle here is not necessarily just the miracle in itself. It's that an extraordinary miracle is done through people like you and I. Your neighbors see you. They ain't going to see me. The people at work, they see you. They're not going to see me. The people you go to school with, they're not going to see me. Ordinary people have always been the ones that do extraordinary things through the power of Jesus Christ. That's why this church exists. That's why this ministry is the powerhouse in this, not just this city, but all over this part of the world and now going around the world through ministries like Metro. You are doing something and a part of something so extraordinary. And you go, but I'm an ordinary person. And you want to just... Come on, man. Come on. Don't tell me you're just an ordinary person. Yeah. See, you are looking here at one of the most ordinary guys you'll ever meet. See, I don't have like a stage persona, like a lot of preachers, some of them in this city, but that's another message. They have a stage persona, and then they're like, different. This is it for me. If you're waiting for me to get better, I'm kind of peaking right now. This is it, folks. If you're waiting, this is it. This is all I got. This is the best I got. Because it is what it is. It's always been about ordinary people. Me and you. Look at somebody. Just stick your finger in their face. He's talking to you. Ordinary people are always the ones that do extraordinary things through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what today's about. That's what this church is about. It's ordinary people that connect with other people, other ordinary people. And why are you worshiping us? We are just like you. That's the real miracle, guys. Look at me. That's the real miracle. The real miracle is that God uses me and you. I was a kid left on the street corner. Come on. You know who you're looking at today? No hot shot here. I was the little boy that nobody wanted. I still have a deformed rib cage right here because I had rickets from malnutrition. I never could talk right. I stuttered. Nobody wanted me. Nobody. Nobody. But one ordinary Christian stopped for me when nobody would stop. His own son was in the hospital dying of leukemia. You've heard me tell the story here before. His own kid was dying, but he still stopped. Put his hand on my shoulder and just said, "Are you okay?" And I stuttered so bad, I couldn't even talk right. But I tried to tell him my mother was gone. I haven't eaten for 3 days, and I'm just hungry. And immediately, he gets food from his wife. He makes some phone calls. And 5 hours after this meeting, 5 hours from the meeting on a street corner, he's loaded me in a church van, sends me to a Sunday school camp where I heard the story of Jesus for the first time. I gave my life to Christ, and I've never looked back. You heard what I said. I've never looked back. And I've spent my life doing for kids all over the world the same thing that that man did for me when he picked me up off the street. Do you understand the importance of the sponsorship? I know you do. One person, ordinary people, it connects with them. The need becomes the call. I'm just ordinary. Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I'm way too ordinary. I used to kind of be ashamed of it. I know I've tried to embrace it, I guess, as I've gotten older. I'm way too ordinary. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm still persuaded that he is still able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. It's always been about ordinary people that choose to do extraordinary things. I'm out of time. Give me some. Let me finish this thing up. So what have we got? We've established it was an extraordinary miracle. And secondly, it's done through ordinary people, trusting God, believing God. But then the last part, the third observation, give me verse 19, John. Give me 19. Here we go. Here's the last part. So, extraordinary miracle done through ordinary people. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Now, who are these guys? Where'd these guys come from? They weren't part of the miracle. This, it says, and there came thither. You know who these guys are? These are the religious people. When God starts to do something extraordinary, there's always going to be some religious people that show up and start being critical. Uh-huh. I hate it when the religious people come thither. Because you know, when religious people come thither, it ain't never good. And they show up and they start criticizing. They persuaded the people to take Paul out and stone him. So what do we really have in this 14th chapter? It was an extraordinary miracle done through ordinary people who then came under an extraordinary attack. They didn't come to discuss the miracle with Paul. They didn't come to discuss the theological implications. They came to kill him. Look at me. Did you hear me? They came to kill him. See, I never understood why my mother left me. I never understood why my sister was a prostitute. I never understood why my home pastor committed suicide. Well, you want to trade stories? I trade stories with you. I'll be out there. You want to trade? Let's do it. I never understood why, when I was little, my life played out the way it played. But now, give me a picture. I got to finish up. We got to get out. Give me another picture. When I was in Syria, we were in a camp, landmines. This was the camp. All I can tell you, it's number 18. That's all I can tell you. It's still an undisclosed location. We would bring people in, do medical work, do Sunday school. That black dot above the top white tent, that's where I got shot. The sniper was 50 clicks out, caught me with a 308. I had my bulletproof vest on. Give me the picture, John. I had the vest on. Get a picture of the back of the vest? Yeah. It took the round. It bent the plate in the metal plate in the vest. But the power from that 308 bent the plate in the vest, broke three ribs. One of the ribs poked a hole in my right lung, knocked me into a pile of rocks, fractured my skull. So I'm laying in the desert in this camp. I don't know, because I can't tell if the bullet's gone through the vest. I'm barely conscious. Israelis came in, put me in a chopper, flew me to the hospital in Jerusalem. So I'm laying in this hospital. And people say, why do you still do this stuff? You're 70 years old. Why are you going to Yemen? I'll have to wear the vest again when I go to Yemen. You guys know that. Why do you do this? Because I'm just an ordinary person. But I understood a long time ago, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. But when you choose to allow God to use you, to be that person to your neighbor, to be that person in your job, in your school, when you choose to say, yeah, that's me, I can do that. I'm ordinary, but I can do that. Just understand, folks, you're going to come under an extraordinary attack. See, and that's why 1,000 preachers every month in America quit. 1,000 a month. 1,000 a month. Quit. Walk away. They want to be used. They want to see the miraculous. But they don't realize when you step out and you allow God to use you, there's always going to be some folks that are going to come at you. And you're going to come under not just a normal attack, but you're going to come under an extraordinary attack. They came to kill Paul and Barnabas. They didn't come to talk about these. The sniper thought I was dead. It was a direct hit. I'm down. See, the biggest problem with that, you know, that's one of the problems Russians have. They think they know more than they do. If you're Russian here today, I love you. Just don't shoot me out there. The problem is, they thought I was dead. Yeah. But God raised me up to be a testimony, to tell people, it's all about ordinary. Please, guys, don't miss this in Jesus' name. It's always been about ordinary people that choose to do extraordinary things. But just remember, you will come under an extraordinary attack. So don't be shocked. I used to wonder why my life as a child was what it was. But see, all of that was what? It was all preparation. Please don't miss this. It was all prep. Because now, at this last season of my life, I'm uniquely qualified, aren't I? Yeah. I've been through the hard times. I've been through the difficult stuff. And now I can go to Yemen. I can go to the Gaza Strip. Yeah. You understand that? And that was at Christmas time a couple of years ago. Give me that picture, John, if you will. That was the Israelis pulled a slug out of the vest, and for their ballistics test, they put it next to a half shekel just so they could see the size of the bullet compared to the half shekel. I think you got another one, John? Yeah? And everybody thought because I'd been shot that we weren't going to be able to make Christmas happen for the kids. But I was still able to go. We made Christmas happen. We introduced 200,000, which is what we deal with every week, to Jesus. Why? You know why. You know why. Because I'm an ordinary guy. This is it. This is the best I got, folks. It's the best I got. But I gave it to him a long time ago. Ordinary guy who just wants to reach kids that were just like me. And I never understood the extraordinary attack, but I do now. It was all prep. It was all prep, bro. For what we do. For what we do. And it's because of churches like this and people like you. When we work together, people see it. They see it. And that little boy, I went to touch his head when he was getting on my bus in Brooklyn. And he just went like this. You know why? So do I. But it's for them. Father, I love you. And I thank you. And I pray, Lord, in the quietness of this moment, that you will help us, Lord. Help us to see beyond ourselves. Lord, this room is filled with ordinary people who have wondered, some of them, maybe most of their life. And they've wondered, Lord, can I ever do anything? Can I ever be the one that makes a difference? I used to wonder that a lot. And then I realized that it's always been about ordinary people that choose to do extraordinary things. Oh, you'll come under an extraordinary attack. No question about it. But greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for the blood that you shed. I thank you for the man who picked me up. I thank you. I thank you. That, Lord, I've been able, as an ordinary guy, just an ordinary guy, to be the one that can maybe make an extraordinary difference in a kid's life. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Bill, for bringing that message to us. Ordinary people that God wants to use to do extraordinary things as we avail ourselves to him. Church, let's stand. Let's stand. Father, I pray that we will live out the faith that we claim to have. That we will walk the talk. We will love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, I ask that you will do a deep work in us. Indeed, we will be a church that reaches out to our immediate families and neighbors and to the masses around, that we will make a difference. Do this for us, Lord, that we will make a difference to the world. In Jesus' name I pray. So the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May he lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruz.org.sg. God bless.